prior to coming here, and I am not one that just believes, I do believe that we live in a fallen world in the sense that it has an effect upon nature. It's Genesis chapter 3, and Romans chapter 8 tells us that all creation is crying out, it's in groaning, it's suffering with us, the sons of God, desiring to be made manifest or come to full maturity and be recreated like we are one day going to receive a glorified body. So I say that laying the groundwork to say this, and I'll move on through this as quickly as possible. But just a week or so before we came here, a rainstorm, I was at an office at a place in Immokalee, and it's about 5 minutes away from the house. And we live on the church property, and we live about 100 yards from the front door of the church. And so I was coming back, and it just as I left the property, as I left the place where I was coming out of meeting with this person, a government person, and I was coming out, and I was headed to my truck. Well, it started to rain. And the rain started coming real. I just was able to get in the truck, and I was headed to my house, and I was going down New Market Road. That's a street going to our house. And just before I turned on Nassau, which is the street that we live on, I began to speak. I just began to speak, as I have done before. It wasn't unusual, but I began to speak to the weather, and I began to speak against lightning, a lightning strike. Well, I pulled in, and I have one of those Carolina sheds where I can pull my truck in, and it's right next to our house. And I got out of my truck. It's just a short distance into the garage. I got in the house, and Candy was in there. And so I walked in the kitchen and the kitchen counter, and I walked around the other side, and I was standing there talking to her and telling her, you know, what went on in the meeting. And it's just been in the house just a little bit. And all of a sudden, a lightning strike in which there's no way for me to describe. Unless you have been just like either struck by lightning or lightning has hit within just a few feet of you. That's the only way. It was so powerful. It was so resounding. It was so powerful that I later found out, and I did not know this to start with, that the day before I left, and I was having, you know, went to get a haircut, and I was talking to the lady that was cutting my hair, and she goes to our church, but she didn't make it Sunday. And I said, well, you heard about, you know, because we, as far as I know, our streaming has not got back up. I don't know. And that's part of the attack. It knocked out all kinds of stuff in our house, in the church, in the modular that we have next to the church. But the amazing part was, I was talking to this lady, and I said, did you hear about that? And she goes, no. And I said, well, there was a lightning strike on Tuesday afternoon at such and such. She goes, we heard that. She's like 5 miles away. Now, normally I know when a lightning storm, there could be hundreds of lightning strikes. She said, we heard that one particular, and her partner walks in, and she's here, and she said, my son was sitting right at your church that time of the day. He was sitting in the eye centers of Florida. He was having his eyes examined. She said, he told him about, there was a lightning strike. She went on to say there was another person that's on Lake Trafford Road, which is several miles. She said that they all, people in the city said, you know, in essence, I got three witnesses all of a sudden that said there was a lightning strike on Tuesday afternoon at such and such a time, basically, that was incredible. It was just an explosion. So Candy and I walked outside, and we're looking, and all of a sudden, I look, and the three huge, these big, huge pines that are in our, one's right from to myself to Nigel at our front door, it's been struck, and that one strike, it went three different ways, and it struck that tree, and it struck the two trees over by right where I parked my truck. Well, one of these trees, both of them are basically right up against this shed. And so I'm looking at this, they've stripped these huge, huge pines. They've stripped the bark right off it as they went down through the middle of these pines. And then I look and I say, Candy, look, what's going on? That whole shed is covered with dirt And I'm like, what in the world? How did... So I walk around, and they're right where I get out of my truck. Right there, there's this big hole in the ground where this lightning hit these trees, come down, and I guess grounded out right there. So I'm saying, well, I think this was meant for somebody. Brother Celio. I think it was meant for somebody. I told Candy, I said, Candy, we need to check the church. Well, it was so strong, it went 100 yards across the, and not two strikes. It wasn't like bam, bam, bam. One strike, it knocked out all kind of stuff. We have to move out of his authority because we're going to run into some stuff. Gary had no sooner finished teaching Sunday. So Candy said, you know, when we were years ago, every time we'd start, we had a few years where we got a reprieve coming to conference. Usually like 15, 20, 30, 50, I don't know, devils would try to jump on us. And Candy was saying, you know, after that happened, she goes, well, we're going to conference. But Gary had no sooner finished his early or Sunday morning, and Candy said, honey, we got to go. We got something going on. Grab your stuff. Or I grab my stuff. When Candy says march, she's not a hysterical, emotional person. She says, something's going on at church. I was already getting texts from my elder and my daughter, one of my elders and daughters. Something came, a bellows. What's a bellows? It's one of those flaming darts. It had the potential to destroy the service, had the potential to destroy a lot of different things. And I had never faced it in 24 years, that particular fight. What is it, Pastor? As Gary says, it is Nanya. In a good way, I say that in a good way. Well, I've already gotten some wisdom from Tim on it. It was a bellows, and I'm not saying that to accentuate my fight. I'm saying this, as you go forward, there is a warfare that is going to try to stop you. But one of the things that I'm learning, and I'm not arrived on it yet, but as Candy said, we got to go to the car. We got things. There's some things happening right now. All our eldership was fine. People were fine. And immediately, but I can tell you this, and this is no brag, there was not one moment in that there was a sense of anxiousness. Not one moment of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There was an absolute peace, an absolute place of such authority that I knew that I was, that he in me was in total control. Talk to my daughter, talk to the elder, talk to the, and it could have been a major, major, and it's still working itself out. We have a major attack. But I want you to listen to this. This was the last of those 10 prophecies, and I remember it well. I remember this because it was on January 12th. That's my birthday. It was the last of them, but we entitled Move Out of My Authority. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, says the Spirit of Grace. The flesh profiteth nothing, says the Spirit of Grace. More determination, more willpower, being more adamant about getting it done or convincing others in your life to get it done or to do for you or to move this or to move that is not the authority that I gave you. For my authority comes up from a place of the Spirit. I gave Adam from the very beginning that authority to tend to the garden. Before the fall, his authority came out of the spirit man. That was in total unison with his physical body and soul. After the fall, I came with a renewing spirit and a spirit that was created like unto the first. I brought forth the final Adam to renew you and even beyond, because that one, that last Adam, became a quickening spirit. And it is out of that spirit that all life proceeds. And it's out of that spirit that all the abundance of life proceeds to your life, says the Spirit of grace. For I am patient and long-suffering to teach you this. But when you move out of the flesh, then you move out of the emotions in your own life to get things done on a daily basis. Even mundane things and things that you would think as in the natural, as in jobs and work and employment and in going about. I did not give you this spirit to move out of the flesh or out, or for all authority comes out of that spirit, says the Spirit of grace. Learn this place of authority, because you must understand this. Judge yourselves when frustrations come. And anger comes, and the sense of having to make it happen comes. It is not that authority that I gave you that you are moving out of. But if you will move out of that authority and speak the end result and believe that my spirit and my angels and everything that heaven employs will go in front of you and surrender your words with authority and power, then the thing that you placed your hand to will be accomplished in such a perfect standing of grace and authority. Even when you are adamant about something and adamant about getting something done or having something accomplished, it will not be through frustration. It will not be through an attitude that pushes yourself or pushes others. Submit to this authority in all things. It begins first in the spirit, and then it exudes itself into all parts or all places in life. I've called you to an outpouring. I've called you to a place where men look at your lives and say, there is a group that does not walk like we walk. There is a group who, when they speak something, it comes to pass. It follows them. Much of the signs and wonders that others will see will not be just the miraculous healings, but it will be watching your life, which will be a sign and a wonder to them, how you maneuver in life and how you get things done. They'll have to testify that there must be an outside supernatural helper or a source that helps you accomplish what others cannot accomplish, says the Spirit of grace. Kings and priests I've called you to be. Yes, you will lay your hands on the sick and watch them recover, and that is part of the great outpouring. But part and much of the great outpouring is walking in a place where the anointing surrounds you that breaks all yokes. Your yoke that the enemy would fasten your life to with negative confessions and negative thoughts and a downward spiral is broken by my presence. And staying in my presence, that yoke is broken. As my word describes it, positionally, then in experience, it is broken for you as you tarry in my presence, says the Spirit of grace. But it is not meant that that freedom that comes by that yoke being continually broken over your life and in your life is meant to be the experience. Let others be a part of your communion. Serve communion to others, not just with the breaking of bread and the juice or the fruit of the vine, but let them take communion of your life, imparting to them as they watch you in observance that your life is a life of freedom and peace. And what you say comes to pass in authority because you move out of that place of authority, says the Spirit of grace. In part, oh, I have called you to go from house to house and from place to place. When you enter a room, it should light up. When you enter a place, no matter what the chaos, do not become part of the chaos. Do not become part of the confusion. Know this, that you have an answer for everything, says the Spirit of grace. Even when you do not believe in your natural mind that you have an answer for everything inside of you, because the one who created all things dwells inside of you. Be a problem solver everywhere you go. Walk into chaotic situations and solve them with the anointing that breaks the yoke. You have one of two choices to make. The first will always be of the senses. Every situation cries out to employ your natural senses. Every part of your day and every part of any situation and circumstance that you come into with others in this life, the first answer or the first employment will be to come at your senses and employ your natural senses. I'm testifying to you as the Spirit of truth. Divert yourself. Step back from the natural. Go into the Spirit and realize that you are first my son, my daughter, empowered with answers, empowered with grace, empowered even just to stand in chaotic situations and exude an anointing that breaks the yoke, says the Spirit of the Lord. I've called you to be a super people in a world that is spiraling down every minute. I've called you to be those with answers and those with an anointing, says the Spirit of grace. It is what is inside of you, not what is on the outside of you. What you know in your mind will not control your future. Tend to this garden. Go everywhere speaking. Not what is on the outside or what you know in your mind that will control your future. Okay, maybe that's the way I said it. Tend to this garden. Go everywhere speaking and sowing seeds of life, says the Spirit of the Lord. And if you have an answer to your brother, fellow Christian, or to the world that is out of the soul or out of the unmeditated places, be quick to repent. Change your words. Speak life. Every part of your garden being growing seeds of life, prosperity in your body and prosperity to your soul and prosperity to your finances and prosperity to your children coming in and people being born again and lives being changed. There is no place for jesting that is contrary to the confession of the things that you are desiring to take place, says the Spirit of the Lord. Even foolish jesting will negate your healing. It will negate great breakthroughs in the financial realm, and it will negate or hold back, abate for seasons, the miracles that you desire in your own personal life. Watch your words and watch your confessions. Be light, be happy, enjoy life. But when I convict you about words that are not seasoned with salt, be quick to repent. Have them erased in heaven that they do not stand as a memorial against your continual confession, and walk in truth. Walk circumspectly in truth. In the power of my word, says the Spirit of grace, I am lining you up like never before because of the cries of your heart. Last paragraph. There is a joy that is coming on the church. There is a joy like you've never known, an ecstaticness like you've never known that is coming. But it will be coming as a result as you lining yourself up with me and my word. Don't be rebellious in any place. Hearken in every place. And I will give you space to grow. I will give you time to grow. I am not jerking you up, but I am growing you up. But I expect you to be in a continual place of growth, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I am patient, very patient. Amen. And you have been patient. Amen. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we worship you. And we praise you for the coming days, an ecstaticness that is coming on the church, a blessedness of everything that you've desired to give us from the very beginning. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for these people of destiny and purpose that are watching through the camera and the people that are standing here with me as brothers and sisters. I bless them. I bless their afternoon, and I bless the remaining part of this conference as we come together this afternoon. And Father, we thank you for it. In the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just have one worship song? I know that's dangerous. It's real dangerous around here. I know it's very, especially after what Pastor Jim taught. So So you can worship through this and then consider yourself officially dismissed. 3 o'clock this afternoon. Blessings on all of you.
Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. 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 Lord,